Morning, today's daf from Pesachim, Ayin Gimel. This is the last daf of the sixth parak of the Masechta. Here in this parak, we are concluding a topic that we started yesterday, Tovah Devar Mitzvah. Mishnah yesterday, Mishnah really is an Ayin Alpha. Today's Mishnah introduced us to an idea that if a person is violating Shabbos, however, he's doing so in the context of trying to fulfill a mitzvah. So according to Rabbi Yeshua and according to the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, he's going to not have to bring a carbon mechatzas, even though he should have been more careful, and obviously he should not have violated Shabbos, but being the fact that he was trying to be involved in a mitzvah, so therefore it gives him a pass. Now it happens to be Rabbi Eliezer just simply dismisses this idea altogether, and Rabbi Eliezer does not subscribe to Tov Bidvar Mitzvah, but Rabbi Yeshua and according to Rabbi Meir, so they do subscribe to the idea of Tov Bidvar Mitzvah. So yesterday's daf, a long daf, dedicated itself to this idea, this concept of Tov Bidvar Mitzvah, which is going to relieve you from having to bring a carbon chatas. In that vein, Rabbi Yochanan yesterday gave a couple of examples of what he thought was an example of Tov Bidvar Mitzvah and what was not an example of Tov Bidvar Mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan's halach, which is found in the middle of Ayin Beis Amud Beis. So Rabbi Yochanan, the beginning of the line, we're not starting here, but you know what, let's start here. It really starts off the sugya. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ishto Nida Baal Chayev. So if his wife is a Nida and he has relations with her, he's going to be Chayev. He should have been more careful. Meaning he did so b'shoge, but nevertheless, he is going to be chayiv. So he had relations with Anita. That's an Issa Kares. So Yevimto Anita Ba Potter. However, if he has relations with his Yevama for his first time fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibum, so there he's going to be Potter. Now, Igadam, Rikosh came by, he, the Mechayiv, the Loasa Mitzvah. So and then the Gemara had the discussion, which we went over quickly yesterday, and we're going to go over quickly again today. Is Rav Yochanan in alignment with Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish talked about the consumption of what he thought was what was kachin, was carbon, and meanwhile it turned out to be nosar. So does Rav Yochanan agree? So some say, kol shekein ba'ahid demechayiv, so for sure, in the previous case, you're going to be chayiv the loss of mitzvah. There you didn't do a mitzvah. So he's amri ba'ahid pater, or some say no, that in the previous case, you're going to be pater. My time ha'asam hu da'havaleh l'shuluyeh, because there you had the, in the case of the nida, you should have asked, aval hacha da'havaleh l'shuluyeh lo, but in the case of carbon, you simply had nobody to ask. Now, Rav Yochanan Maishna Yevimto Dekavin Mitzvah, Yishonam Dekavin Mitzvah. So the Gemara now goes through, according to Rav Yochanan, what's the difference between a man having relations with his wife who's a Nida, where he says under those circumstances you're Chayiv, and meanwhile having relations with your Yevama, you're going to be Pater, that is Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. Why? Isn't your wife also Toa Bidvar Mitzvah? So the Gemara asks exactly that question. Yishonam Dekavin Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, well, his wife is pregnant, and therefore there's no mitzvah peruvu. So the Gemara says, Vaika simchas ona. So the Gemara says, yeah, but being with his wife at specific times on a particular schedule. And as I mentioned yesterday, the Gemara Ksuvas goes through what the schedule actually is. So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, that's also mitzvah, the mitzvah fulfilling ona. So shalom b'shas ona. So the Gemara says, no, he was doing it more frequently than what the schedule advised. The Gemara says, okay, but Rava says that every time a husband is with his wife, so that's a mitzvah. So even if it's more than what the schedule requires in terms of ona, still, that's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Samach Levesa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it happens to have been that he was with his wife while she was expecting to be a Nida. This is a halach of Samach Levesa. We discussed it extensively back in Masechta Nida. And at that point in time, even before she actually sees a discharge, so he's not allowed to be with her. So, and a husband and wife have to be parish, have to separate at anticipated times when she's expecting to have her nida. So, So the Gemara says, okay, so by Yavama, isn't it also Samach Levesta? So Yavimto buzzes mine, Ishtola buzzes mine. So the Gemara pointed out that, yeah, but that's where the difference lies. In the case of his wife, where he's comfortable with his wife, so he needs to and should have asked her, all right, are you a nida? However, when it comes to the Yavama, understandably, it's very uncomfortable, very awkward that this is there's no engagement period. He's just with his sister-in-law for the first time. And so therefore, understandably, he's going to be slightly embarrassed to have to ask her. And so therefore, and he's fulfilling a mitzvah. So this falls under the category of Tov Bidvar Mitzvah. And therefore, he does not have to bring a carbon chatas. Good, a quick recap of what we saw yesterday. And now, the Gemara, and this is new for us, now the Gemara wants to know, Rav Yochanan said this halacha, he was going like, which Tana? Rav Yochanan, come on. So, Elimika Rav Yossi did not, so the Gemara says, okay, so let's line up a number of Tanaim who Rav Yochanan is in alignment with. So maybe it's the Tana Rav Yossi.
the name we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Amar, Yom Tov Rishon, Shechag, Shechag Leos B'Shabbos, V'Shachar V'Hotzi Es Alulav, L'Rishus HaRab, and Patum, Rim Nesha Hotzi B'Rishus. So let's say the first day of Sukkot coincides with Shabbos, and you take out your lulav. You're not allowed to take out your lulav. We know, the halacha is that when Sukkot and Shabbos coincide, and it's going to happen one day of the week, but here the Braisa describes it being the first day, and the first day because the first day, the mitzvah of Dalet Minim on the first day is Minat Torah, and yet the Chachamim said, don't take your lulav and esrog, and the Chachamim's concern is that once you do so, you're going to be carrying it in a Rishus HaRabim, but you did so. And Vahosi is a lulav of the Rishus HaRabim. He took it out to Rishus HaRabim. Right? Exactly what the Chachamim were worried you're going to do, that's what you did. So it happens to be under those circumstances, you're not going to bring a carbon chatos. You were trying to do a mitzvah. So this is an example of Tovah B'Dvar Mitzvah, which is going to exempt you from having to bring a carbon chatos. So the Gemara says, so maybe the halacha Rav Yochanan is working together with Rav Yossi, right? He's working within the sheet of Rav Yossi. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. So the Gemara says, no, because over there, consider the following. Right now, Zmano Bahol, you have to do the mitzvah today. If you don't do the mitzvah today, you're going to lose the mitzvah. And so therefore, you have pressure. So the Gemara says that Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah, according to Rav Yossi, is going to exempt you. It's going to relieve you from a carbon chatos when you're on the clock. It has to be done. You have a deadline, and you're trying to do a mitzvah. So that pressure excuses you from having to bring a carbon chatos, right? It's more understandable. Again, it doesn't permit it, but at least it's more understandable why it is that you violated Shabbos. But over here, you're not. There's no deadline. There's no date, right? In other words, you have a mitzvah to marry your yavama, but if you don't do it today, you can do it tomorrow. So the cases are not comparable, and the Gemara says, You can't hang Rav Yochanan on Rav Yossi Shita. So the Gemara says, okay, let's go with the second attempt. Ella Rav Yoshua Dizvachim. So the Gemara says, maybe it's the Shita of Rav Yoshua as it relates to Karbanos. So the, remember, Yishecht a Karban L'Shem Pesach. So there you were told B'Dvar Mitzvah, meaning our Mishnah, what we saw yesterday. So the Gemara says, no, Domahasim de Zmano Baal. So the Gemara says, we're gonna make the same observation. There, once again, you're on the clock. You mashach the Karban Pesach by the end of the afternoon. If you don't do so, you miss the Zman. So again, it's not only doing the mitzvah, but doing the mitzvah under pressure. There's a deadline. So the Gemara says it's not comparable. So Ve'ela Kareb Yoshua de Tinoka. So the Gemara says, okay, 19th parak of Shabbos, which again, we discussed yesterday extensively. So Hasam Nami Zman Abahul. The Gemara immediately makes the same point over there. Deadline. Bris has to be done on the eighth day. If it's done after the eighth day, you miss that special mitzvah. And so therefore, that's also not comparable. The Elik Rabbi Yoshua de Truma. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be the Rabbi Yoshua Shita as it relates to Truma. There's a Mishnah in Trumos, 8th Perek. Did not, the Mishnah says, Ayaocha b'Truma v'no deshu ben grusha ben chalutza. So a person is eating Truma, and then discovery. And discovery is that his mother was a divorcee before having married his father. And so that means to say that he's not a Kohen, he's a Halal. He's devoid of Kedushas Kahuna. Or ben chalutza, or his mother was a chalutza, and his father married a chalutza. So despite the fact that his father's a Kohen, but because his father married either a grusha or a chalutza, so that makes him now have no kedushas kahuna, which means that he's not allowed to eat the truma that he ate. So Rabbi Eliezer mechayv karen v'chomesh. So Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, so this is going to be called a case of shogeg. What happens when you eat truma that you were not allowed to? He's a czar, right? Halachically speaking. He's no different than a non-Kohen. He is a non, meaning his father's a Kohen, but he himself is totally devoid of Kedushas Kahuna. So, Achilas Truma B'Shogeg, what are the ramifications? So you have to make full restitution, and on top of that, you also have to add a Chomesh. You have to add on 25% on that which you ate. So Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, that's what he's going to have to do over here. And Rabbi Yeshua Poter, and Rabbi Yeshua says that under those circumstances, he's going to be Poter. Why? Because he was Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. Because at the time, he thought he was doing a mitzvah. And since he was Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, so therefore he's going to be Poter. And there's no deadline. You don't have to eat the Truma by a certain day. And so therefore, now good. So now we've discovered a sheet of Rabbi Yeshua. Now it happens to be the same Rabbi Yoshua that we learned in the 19th parak of Shabbos, and the same Rabbi Yoshua that we learned in here in the 6th parak of Pesachim. But it's a better Rabbi Yoshua to connect to Rabbi Yochanan, because finally we have a case of Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah without a deadline. So the Gemara says, Demokid Rabibi Barabai, Dam Rabibi Barabai, B'Truma Barab Pesach, Dizmana Bahu. So the So the Gemara says, even as we do have a Tana, so the Gemara says, I'm not perfectly convinced that it's a good comparison. Because it could be that the Truma that is, that's being discussed over there in that Mishnah, maybe that's Truma on Erev Pesach. Remember, we discussed in the beginning of our Masechta that Truma on Erev Pesach, if it's Chametz, if it's Truma's Chametz, so it has to be consumed also on Erev Pesach. Right there, there's an opinion over there that you're given an additional hour to eat the Truma's Chametz. But anyway, but the point is that over there we could construct the Mishnah in the scenario in which, there's a deadline. So if that's true, so then we lost that Tana as well. Inami, Shani Truma, Dekri Avoda, Vavoda Rechman Achshir. So, or what we could say the following. And we could say that the eating of Truma, so that falls under the category of Avoda. And even though an Avoda cannot be done by a Chalal, but if done so, so Bidyevit, it's gonna be Kasher. And so we can make an argument that the Shita of Yoshua has nothing to do with Tov Bidvar Mitzvah. It has to do with another concept, and that is that a halal that does the avod, the bidi eved, right, according to an opinion, is going to be kosher. And how, so the Gemara says, and so we gotta make a couple of jumps over here. One, we have to say that eating of truma is tantamount to an avoda, and then we also have to subscribe to this viewpoint, that a halal doing the avod, the bidi eved, is gonna be kosher. So the Gemara says, Shani Truma de Ikre Avodav, Avodav Rachman Achshir Dinan. So first the Mishnah, Hayom in a Makri Venoza Shu Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So here the Mishnah, the Mishnah teaches us that if you had a Kohen who he thought he had Kedushas Kahuna, and again discovery, and he discovered either he was a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So according to the Tanakhama of that Mishnah, so every avoda that he did is not an avoda, because that avoda was done by a non-Kohen. That's the Tanakhama's viewpoint. Now it happens to be Shita's Rabbi Yoshua. Actually, it works out really well because now we have alignment. So Shita's Rabbi Yoshua is that kosher. Now that Shita's Rabbi Yoshua, that's a difficult Shita to understand. If he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, so he's a Chalal. So how could it be that the avoda that he did, b'di'evan, is going to be kosher? D'chsiv, the pasuk says, b'yirech Hashem chelo follow yadav tirtzeh. Pasuk in Parshas, v'zos ha-bracha, when giving out the brachas to Levi. So b'yirech Hashem chelo follow yadav tirtzeh. So the pasuk, as understood over here in this context, is that even though he is chelo, a chalal, still follow yadav tirtzeh. That which he did with his hands is going to be accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bidyevin. So that's going to be the drasha supporting the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. V'chuma hecha ikrei avoda. Good. So number one, we have to subscribe to this viewpoint, which again, it's shita's Rabbi Yeshua, so that part's easy. And now the second stretch over here is to say that the eating of chuma is considered avoda. The Gemara says, how do we get there? V'chuma hecha ikrei avoda. And where do we see the chuma is described as an avoda? D'tanya. So it happens to be that Rabbi Tarfon missed a day in the base medrash. Actually, he missed a night in the base medrash. And Rabbi Gamliel called him to task for missing a night in the base medrash. So Amarlo avoda avanati. So Rabbi Tarfon's response, excuse, is that he was doing the avoda. Now this is post Chorban. This is post the destruction of Beis Hamikdash. So Amalo called Dvarchemina Ela Dvartema Vichy Avoda Bizman Zeminayan. And so Rabbi Gamliel says, look, of all the excuses that you can give for missing the base medrash, this one's a hard one to accept. Right? Unfortunately, we no longer have the base of Mikdash. What are you telling me that you missed the base medrash last night? Because you were doing the Avoda? What are you talking about? Vichy Avoda Bizman Zeminayan Amalo, Hare Yuame, we're on the top of Ein Gimel Manal. Avodas Matana Etain Es Kehunas Chem. Vehazar Hakarev Yumas. So the pasuk in Parshas Korach describes that I'm giving you avodas matana over here, being a reference, being an allusion to truma. Etaines kuhunas chem vehazar karev yumas. So you see over here juxtaposed in this very pasuk in Parshas Korach the idea of the nesina, meaning the truma, and together a couple along with vehazar karev yumas, also achilas truma. And that means that this is going to create some sort of equivalency of a Kohen eating Truma to a Kohen actually doing the Avoda. So okay, fine. So we have this idea that Rabbi Tarfon presents to Rabbi Gamliel that he was obviously not doing the avoda, and that's not why he missed the night in the Beis Medrash, because there was no avoda to be done, because again they were without a Beis Hamikdash. But what Rabbi Tarfon was trying to argue to Rabbi Gamliel is that he was eating truma, and eating truma is tantamount to doing the avoda. So what do we gain from all this? Actually, we don't gain; we actually lose, because we had a shita Rabbi Yochanan. That Rav Yochanan says that if a man has relations not with his wife who's a Nida, because there he says you're Chayiv, you should have asked, but if a man has relations with his Yivama who's a Nida, so that falls into the category of Tobit Var Mitzvah. And the Gemara now wants to know the Shita of Rav Yochanan, of Tobit Var Mitzvah, in the case of Yivama, who's the Tana that's going to support him? So the Gemara went 5 rounds, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, let's call it 4 rounds. The Gemara went through 4 rounds of Tanayim in terms of trying to line them up. The Shita of Rav Yossi regarding Lulav, the Shita of Rav Yoshua regarding Shechtin Karm Pesach and Shabbos, the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua regarding the Tinokos, the babies that need the Mila, the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua when it comes to Truma, and what the Gemara has accomplished or tried to accomplish is align Rav Yochanan with one of those Tanaim who clearly subscribe to Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. But as the Gemara argues, in the first 3 Tanaim, there is a deadline, and so their deadline therefore equals pressure, which makes it more excusable that he violated whatever Avera he violated. And therefore does not have to bring a Karban Chatas. And in the case of Rav Yochanan, so there was no deadline. So that didn't work. And even in the 4th example of Rav Yoshua, in the case of Truma, so the Gemara said one of 2 things. Either there could be a deadline over there. There's a new Kimta. We can make a new Kimta in which it was Truma on Erev Pesach. There's a deadline. Or we could also point out that maybe the Shita Rav Yoshua that exempts him from having to pay Karen V'chomesh has to do with the fact that the eating of a Truma is an Avoda, and we know that when it comes to the Avoda, even if a Chalal were to do the Avoda, B'dievet would be Kasher. Okay, so really when all said and done, so we don't really have a definitive Tana that's going to be able to be aligned together with the Shita Rav Yochanan. Which means, awkwardly, by the way, that the Gemara kind of leaves Rav Yochanan unsupported by any of the Tanayim. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. We continue. The Gemara just wants to go back over the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave us a number of cases. I ran through the Mishnah in yesterday's daf, a 9 Aleph Amud Beis, where we're introduced to this Mishnah. So the Mishnah had a lot of scenarios. And basically what the Gemara is bothered by is, you know, most of these scenarios, if not all of them, they're pretty intuitive. I say intuitive, meaning after having gone through the earlier part of the Masechta, so they're all pretty intuitive. Shechtu shelo ochlav. So if you shecht the Karban Pesach for non-consumers, and again, we're talking about Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos, right? That's the theme of our perek, right? Erev Pesach falling out on Shabbos. So if you shecht it for non-consumers, so you're going to be chayiv. Pshita kem da asam pasol hacha chayiv. So okay, fine. The Gemara says, but I know that. Because once we've established that the Karban Pesach is a disqualified Karban Pesach, and now I do so on Shabbos, so you're violating Shabbos. So it's obvious. So Gemara says, Mishum de Tani Seifa, Pater, Tani Resha Chayev. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the next case in the Mishnah were your Paters. The Gemara says, Vahanami Pshita. So Mishum de Hasa Kasher, Hacha Pater. Now the next case in the Mishnah is where you shechted for a group that was a composite of consumers and non-consumers. The Gemara says, but that's also obvious. Meaning, we know the halacha is that if you shecht the Karban Pesach for a composite group made up of consumers and non-consumers, so you're going to be, the Karban Pesach is good. Well, if the Karban Pesach is good, so obviously you didn't violate Shabbos. So once again, the Gemara says that's another obvious point. So, Ela'idi de Tani Shechtu Shelo Lishmo b'Shabbos Tani Nami Shelo La'ochlav. So the Gemara says, okay, well, I'll tell you what. The Mishnah just kind of transition because the Mishnah was talking about Shelo Lishmo, so therefore got to the topic of Shelo La'ochlav. Meaning there's a certain rhythm in the Mishnah that once the Mishnah starts on one topic, it just kind of continues. The Gemara says, V'hi gufa lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, even the case of Shinui Shmo, again, it's a halacha that we already know. So the Gemara says, Mishum de kabai la'afluge Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, yeah, but really, you know what? Everything in the Mishnah really surrounds the machlokas Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning yesterday's daf, right? The one thing in the Mishnah that is totally new to us is this idea of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is obviously a totally new concept. And so as a result of that, So that is what the Mishnah is introducing us to. All the other cases kind of came along rhythmically, poetically, because they are also come in for the, as part of the discussion, I say Shalom L'shmo, so then you go to Shalom L'ochlav, right, like we did back in the fifth parak. So over here in the sixth parak, so good. So we want the case of Shalom L'shmo because it gets us to the machlokus of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer by Tovah Dvar Mitzvah. So once we're there, so we give all these other cases as well, because that's just simply a flow of the Tanayim. But that which is actually a Chiddush, so that's the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, so just a sidebar in the Gemara regarding most of the cases in the Mishnah being really intuitive and unnecessary vis-a-vis teaching us the Chiddush, but the Gemara now explained that, yeah, you're right, it really sets us up for the Machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, we're in Ein Gimel Amud Aleph. We're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Next topic in today's daf. Amalei Ravuna Bar Chinna Lebreki, Azos Lekamid de Rebbe Zrika. So, you're going to go in front of Rebbe Zrika, Bai Minei Ledivrei Homer Mekaka B'Chabura Pater. So, there's an opinion that we discussed back in Masechta Shabbos, and that's the idea of Mekaka B'Chabura. Let's say you create a Chabura, but you do so only in a destructive form, meaning Shechita is a chabura, right? You're wounding the animal. You're doing more, of course, than wounding the animal. You're killing the animal. But if you shech for the purposes of eating it, so you understand how it's constructive. It's constructive in the fact that now the animal is a shechted animal. So that's why if you do this on Shabbos, so you're going to be chayev. But if by virtue of the fact that you're shechting and nothing positive comes out from it, so this in Hilcha Shabbos is called being mekalka b'chabura. And being Mekalka Bechabur, so the Gemara over there debated whether or not one's going to be Chayv or Pater. You violate a Malacha, but nothing positive comes out from it. So are you Chayv or Pater? So there's an opinion that says that Mekalka Bechabur is in fact going to be Pater. So now, let's take that opinion, let's assume like that position, and now let's go back to our Mishnah. How did you understand our Mishnah? If in fact you were a subscriber to this idea of Mekalka Bechabur Pater, where you shecht an animal and nothing positive came out from it, so therefore, on a technicality, you should not be in violation of Shabbos, meaning you should not be chayev a carbon chatas like our Mishnah says. So shechtu shalol al-chav chayev matikein. So let's say you take your carbon Pesach, you shecht it for non-consumers, which means that the shechita is a shechita psula. The carbon Pesach is disqualified. So now, our Mishnah says, yeah, and if the 14th coincides with Shabbos, you also violated Shabbos. So the Shechita is no good, and consequently, you violated Shabbos. And now what our Gemara wants to know is, wait one second. So if the Shechita is no good, so that means that the carbon now is going to be discarded. If we're discarding the carbon, so then there was nothing positive that came out of that Shechita. If there was nothing positive that came out of that Shechita, and if we subscribe to the principle of Mekalka Bechabur Pater, so then it's just such a strong question. So then, why are you now in violation of Shabbos? And that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Chayev means that you violated Shabbos. You're chayev a carbon chatas. How does that work? So ma tikein. So that's the Gemara's question. So tikeinim alu lo yardim. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you in what way it benefited. It's a limited benefit, but the point the Gemara is going to make a couple of times over is that even for the most limited a benefit, so you don't have to call this a kilkel. So number one, the Gemara suggests over here, is that it does help in the sense that, look, your carbon Pesach that becomes disqualified. So it needs to be discarded. If it goes up, if some coin takes it up onto the Mizbeach, lo yardu, it doesn't take it down. So this takes us all the way back to Zvachim, ninth parak, hopefully I remember correctly. So ninth parak in Zvachim, where, the parak describes that even though, certain carbonos are disqualified, nevertheless, if they're put up onto the Mizbeach, so then the Mizbeach basically is able to absorb them, right? Create a certain sanctuary for them, even though they shouldn't have gotten up onto the Mizbeach. This is a halacha stated succinctly as im alu lo yardu. So for our carbon Pesach that becomes disqualified, so over here, what positive benefit is there? So again, it's extraordinarily limited, but at least there's something, and that is im alu lo yardu. So the Gemara says, Shechtim Nimsa Ba'amum Chayev, so Matikein. So the Gemara says, okay, but Shechting and the animal turns out to be a Ba'amum, which is another case in our Mishnah. So Matikein. So the Gemara says, so what Takana is there over there? So, meaning that if it's a blemished animal, it is totally disqualified, It doesn't go up onto the Mizbeach. Even if it does go onto the Mizbeach, you simply take it down. So there's nothing positive came out of from it. So how is it that you violated Shabbos? Again, it's the same question, but now in the case of the Baal Mum, it's even a stronger question, because there, seemingly, there is no benefit for it whatsoever. So the Gemara says, Tikim Bedugin Shabayim Valiba Rabbi Kiv Damar Imalu Lo Yardu. So there is, again, it's extraordinarily limited, but there is an opinion, notably that of Rabbi Kiva, that if the physical blemish happens to be, let's call it a cataract, right? I'm not sure if that's precise, but in other words, some blemish in the eye, where according to Rabbi Kiva, he describes that as a milder blemish, a milder mum, where even though the carbon's disqualified, you're not allowed to bring it, but if you did and you shechted it and you put it up onto the mizbech, im alu lo yardu. So that is the one example of a carbon baal mum, where if it goes up onto the mizbech, it stays up onto the mizbech. So again, there is a net positive benefit from the shechita. Admittedly, though, it's extraordinarily limited. Yeah, in fact, the case is very limited. It only would work in the case of Dukin Shabayin, right? This physical blemish of a cataract, and it would only work if you subscribe to the Shita Rabbi Kiva. But at least it's possible to come up with at least one very limited positive benefit. Okay, let's just go on in the Mishnah. Shachtu v'nimtza treifa b'seisa pater. The next case in the Mishnah, yishech the animal turns out to be a treifa, it's going to be pater. So ha begalui chayev. So that means to say, obviously, it's very clear in the Mishnah that if the treifa was exposed, meaning that you saw that this animal was clawed, and you could see it already from the outside, externally. So that means to say that if you shechted that animal on Shabbos as a Karban Pesach, so under those circumstances, you're going to be chayiv. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say that, but it's clearly deduced out of the Mishnah that that's the Mishnah's point. So again, now, you just shechted a treifa. So matikin, the Gemara says, so what positive benefit did you get? Again, the Mishnah's point is that you're chayiv in Chilul Shabbos. But again, if you subscribe to Mekalka b'chabur pater, so then you shouldn't be chayiv on Chilul Shabbos. So the Gemara says, tikin lahotzi midei nevela. Well, you know, the halach is that even if the animal's a treifa, but you give it a proper shechita, so then the carcass of the animal is not a nevela. You saved it from being a nevela and having tumas nevela. Again, an extraordinarily limited benefit, but at least there's some benefit. Maskal Ravina had the Tanya Ashokhi Khatis Bishabis Bechutz Avorazara Chaivala Gimokhatos. So the Gemara follows up with one more question on this idea of Mekalka Bechabur Potter based on the following Brisa. Let's say you shecht a Karban Chatas on Shabbos outside of the Azara, and you do so Li Avorazara for idolatry. Okay, you are just having an extraordinarily bad day vis-a-vis violating basic Isurim of the Torah. Again, all these cases you did so v'shogeg, but still, so chayv ala gimel chatos, you're now going to be chayv three carbon chatoses. Okay, and three carbon chatoses are, number one, shchut echutz. Shchut echutz is shechting a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, that's an Issur Kares, which means if done v'shogeg, you're chayv a carbon chatos. Number two is that you shechted for avodah zarah, right? That also is an Issur Kares. And so therefore, if done b'shogeg, you're chayav v'karban chatos. And finally, number three, you violated Shabbos. You did this on Shabbos. So a violation of Shabbos is going to be also in Issur Kares, which means that b'shogeg, you're chayav v'karban chatos. So the Gemara says, over here, matikin, what benefit have you done over here? In other words, again, subscribing to the principle, mekalka b'chabur patur. So over here, if there's no positive benefit that came out from it, so then you should be exempt. For Chilul Shabbos, you shouldn't have to bring a carbon chatos. So over here, what positive benefit? Now, even though just moments earlier in the Gemara, you said, well, you know, at least when you shech something, you remove the Isser Nevela. So over here, you're not removing the Tumas Nevela. Why are you not removing the Tumas Nevela? Because Rashi reminds us over here that when you're being makir something for Avodah Zarah, it's Metame. In fact, by the way, Rashi points out over here, the degree of Tumah is even stronger than just simple Nevela, right? It's Metame Afilu Ba'ohel. But anyway, there's going to be tumah over there. So you haven't stopped the tumah. So over here, so question. A question is that in this particular case, there's absolutely no positive benefit. And if I subscribe to Mekalka b'chabur patur, so you should be exempt from Chilul Shabbos. So Amar Rav Avira Shemotzi Midei Ever Menachai. So the Gemara says, well, look, you just think about it a little bit more. We can come up with a positive benefit. Notably, it's no longer Ever Menachai. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, it's no longer Avram and Achai, and therefore B'nai Noach can now go ahead and consume it. And so therefore, there is a positive benefit, and that is for anyone who's not a Jew, in which prior to the Shechita, the Ben Noach was not allowed to eat it because it violates the Yisra of Avram and Achai. But now after you Shechta, now B'nai Noach are allowed to eat it. So that is considered positive benefit, which now is going to work against you. Because now that there's a positive benefit through this act of Shechita, so now you're going to be violating Shabbos. It's no longer Mikalkal B'chabura. Now we have a benefit. Okay, so basically what the Gemara just did is it just ran through the Mishnah and subscribing to the viewpoint of Mekalka B'chabur Pater, how can the Mishnah talk about all these cases where your Karban Pesach gets disqualified and as a result of that you violate Shabbos? How are you violating Shabbos? Isn't it Mekalka B'chabur? And the Gemara has given an answer to every scenario in the Mishnah, and not only that, but even an answer to the Brice as well. Two dots, Ayin Gimel Med Aleph, continuing in the Gemara. Shachta v'Noda. Yishech, the Karban Pesach, and discovery. And the Mishnah's case of discovery, you can turn back to the Mishnah. So you learn that the people who registered over the Karban Pesach unregistered, withdrew their registration unbeknownst to you. Or the owners of the Karban Pesach died. Right? Again, information that you didn't receive when you shechted it. Or the owners of the Karban Pesach all became Tameh, and therefore they are now non-consumers. So you didn't know any of this information, and while you shechted the animal, you thought your Karban Pesach, you thought everything was good. So the Mishnah tells us that obviously under those circumstances, you're not going to have to bring a Karban Chatas. You're not considered having violated Shabbos. Why? So the Mishnah says because Mimnei Sheshecha Berishus, because you shechted it while under the impression that you were doing the right thing. Right, Rashi back in the Mishnah gives a two-word description of why you're putter. Rashi writes in the Mishnah, Ones. Right, you just simply didn't know. You were at the time when you shechted it, you thought you were doing the right thing. Good. So, Amrav. So the Gemara is going to construct a question. Now, the construction of this question is going to take a lot of blocks of information. So just be a little bit patient as we put together a good amount of information, and then the Gemara is going to be able to formulate a question. So first, we start off with the following. Amrav, so we start off with a halacha set over by Rav. Ashem shenitak le'ra'aya. V'shachto stam, kasher la'ola. So a halacha that we've gone over numerous times in Seder Kachim, this halacha comes up time and again. So here, admittedly, we're in Seder Moed. We're not going to see this halacha that often. So a quick crash course. Karban Asham, obviously, much like a Karban Chatas, comes as a kapara for certain averas in the Torah. There are five Ashamos in total. So, okay, so you have this you have a Karban Asham. And it turns out now that we don't need the Karban Asham. Rashi over here gives two examples. There are five in total. But the reason why Rashi gives two examples, because it happens to be the Gemara in just a moment, are going to give these two examples. Let's say, for example, the owner of the Karban Asham died. So now the owner of the Karban already received his kapara through his death. And so therefore the Karban now is simply not necessary anymore. Or this kapara be'acher. Or let's say you received the kapara through another Karban Asham. You currently lost this Karban Asham. You got a replacement, you offer the replacement, you find the original. So these are now cases where the Asham is no longer needed. Now hopefully this should sound familiar, because this we talk about these halachas vis-a-vis the Karban Chatas. By the Karban Chatas, if the Karban Chatas is no longer necessary, now there are five cases in total, they're called Chatos Amesos. But again, we're just going to focus on two of them right now. So in these cases, so what happens with the Karban Chatas where either the owner of the Karban Chatas dies or the owner received the kapara through another Karban. So under those circumstances, the Chatas has to be sent to death, meaning you can't shech the Karban Chatas. The Karban Chatas now becomes unnecessary. And the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is that you have to allow the animal to die. Okay, the Gemara in Seder Kachim goes through the process in which you kill the animal. But anyway, but you do not offer it as a Karban. That's the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And as part of the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, whatever is true by a Karban Chatas, meaning if the Karban Chatas is sent to death, so then by a Karban Asham, so it's nitak l'ra'aya, which means that the Asham itself is going to be converted to a Karban Ola. Now, what does that mean precisely? So Rashi over here goes through great detail I'll just say it succinctly. And that is that with the ashram is going to be sent to pasture, allowed to develop a blemish organically, naturally. When it develops a blemish, we're going to redeem it. We're going to take that money and we're going to give it to the Beis HaMikdash. There are pushkas in the Beis HaMishka, in the Beis HaMikdash, that are for Ketzam Mizbeach, meaning, so to say, in the slow time in the slow time of the season, when there are not a lot of carbonas that are offered. So the Kohanim are going to dip into this fund and purchase for themselves carbon olas. The ola obviously is burnt on the Mizbeach in total, and the hides are given over to the Kohanim. Okay, I know I went through all this quickly, but it's just a lot of information. Anyway, so that's the halacha with the carbon ashram that becomes unnecessary. Now, the principal way to handle it, as we just described, is to take the animal, allow it to graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem it. What if, let's say, the animal itself was actually shechted as a carbon ola? So that's what we're learning right now in our Gemara. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav, Asham Shenitak L'Rai V'Shachtu Stam. So let's say you put it out to pasture. And then afterwards, whether it was done intentionally, unintentionally, not clear, but whatever the case is, it was taken and it was offered as a carbon ola, V'Shachtu Stam. Now it happens to be that the Kohen didn't say the word ola. He just simply said, I'm shechting it, with no kavana. So kasher la'ola. So it becomes an ola. So what does that mean over here? So even though the carbon ashram in such a case can be brought as a carbon ola, so it doesn't have to be reassigned, right? I know we just covered this topic of Akira, right, in yesterday's daf, right? It was the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, but here now, this is another example of Akira. The idea over here is the ashram that's going to be brought as a carbon ola does not require akira, meaning just by virtue of the fact that you're shechting it an unnecessary carbon ashram, you're shechting it. So that in of itself already makes it a carbon ola. Amaka sevelo by akira. So ihachi kiloni taknami. So the Gemara says, okay, so why did you send it out to pasture? Meaning, once a carbon ashram becomes perfectly unnecessary, so then why not at that point in time just send it right to the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara says, gzera l'achar kapara, atu lifnei kapara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what the Chachamim were concerned with is, if we're just so flippant and fluid of transitioning an Asham into an Ola, so it might be that a person will say, well, look, the Asham can become an Ola. So even lifnei kapara, even before you receive the kapara through the other carbon Asham, I might try to take this Asham and transition it into a carbon ola, and you might do so prematurely. So what the Chachamim wanted us to do is basically go out of our way to go through a process and procedure in order so that nobody will prematurely offer this carbon ashram as an ola. Meaning you got to put it out to pasture, you got to put it out to graze. Ominat tamer did not, and the Gemara says, and just to really support this point, ashram shemesa balav, so here now in the Mishnah Temura. So you have a carbon ashram where the owner has died, or shins kapra balav, or the owner has received the kapar through another carbon ashram. So what do you do with this carbon? Yira ad shiistayiv. Let it graze until it develops a blemish. V'yimakar selav yiplu damav l'ndava. And the money is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, to those pushkas that we described. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yamos. Rabbi Eliezer says that the carbon ashram has to be put to death. Rabbi Eliezer throughout Seder Kachim. And you can find this right in the beginning of Masechtas Vachim. So Rabbi Eliezer says that an Asham and a Chatas are equal to one another. Whatever is true by the Chatas is going to be true by the Asham. So here in this Mishnah in Temur, Rabbi Eliezer says that the Asham is to be put to death. And Rabbi Yeshua Amar Yimakar V'Yavi B'Demav Olav. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you sell it, and with the proceeds of that sale, it is offered, the money is purchasing an animal that's going to be brought as a carbon ola. So, And Rashi deals with the fact that Rabbi Yeshua is really echoing the sentiment of the Tanakhama. What differences are there between Rabbi Yeshua and the Tanakhama? See Rashi. But meanwhile, let's just stay on point in the Gemara. Bidam of in aval gufo lo. Now, obviously, what the instructions are very clear. Meaning, let the Asham graze, let it develop a blemish, then sell it, and then use the proceeds of the sale to purchase a carbon ola. But you can't take the carbon ashram itself and offer it as a carbon ola. And now, again, we're just asking the same question. Why? If the proceeds are going to go to a carbonola, why not just take the animal and offer it as a carbonola? So the gazalacha kapara atulifne kapara shmamina. So the Gemara says, okay, and it's the same answer. Because again, what the Chachamim wanted to do is put in some safeguards, some measures to make sure that we don't flippantly just move an Asham over to an Ola, because if we do it so flippantly, so we may do so prematurely, meaning before we're allowed to do so. So the Chachamim put in these safeguards. So really, primarily what one should do, principally what one should do, when one has a carbon Asham that became now superfluous, i.e. the owner died, i.e. the owner received a kapara through another one, through another carbon asham. So under those circumstances, principally what a person should do is allow the carbon asham to graze, develop a blemish, sell it, and the money should go towards another, towards the purchasing of a carbon ola. Or alternatively, send it out to graze. And then if in fact that animal is offered as a carbon ola, it works. But in other words, at least some safety measure so that nobody would offer a carbon asham as an ola in a time where he's not allowed to do so. Fine. So Eisve Rav Chisa L'Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, okay, that is all the backdrop information so that now we're able to ask a question. Like I said, there's a lot of information presented over here, but now we get to ask the following question. Eisve Rav Chisa L'Rav Huna Shachta V'Noda Shamashku Balei Mes Yadam. And that is, let's say you shechted the carbon Pesach, and unbeknownst to you, everyone who registered simply unregistered, and you didn't know that. And so now v'tzni Allah, and meanwhile we have the following brisa on our Mishnah. Now our Mishnah is describing you did this on Shabbos because that's the whole theme of the Mishnah. But the brisa tells us the following: as now we're on the top of Ein Gimel Amud Beis, and that is b'chol ki aygav mi yisarf miyad. If this occurred during a weekday, so what do I do now with my carbon Pesach that should not have been shechted as a carbon Pesach? So what you're going to do with it is you're going to burn it immediately, meaning it is a disqualified carbon. As such, it is to be destroyed, burnt, effective immediately. Now, I amart b'shlama ba'yakira had Pesach u'vekevin d'aleis le'balam havalei psula b'gufa amatala hachi sarf miyad. So the Gemara says like this. Let's assume that akira is necessary, meaning a carbon Pesach, much like a carbon asham, can be rerouted. A carbon asham can be rerouted as a carbon ola. A carbon Pesach can be rerouted as a carbon shlamim, like we've discussed time and again. Now, this rerouting, does it require an akira? Meaning, does the person shechting it have to verbally articulate and say, I am no longer shechting it as a carbon Pesach. I am now shechting it as a carbon shlamim. I don't need it as a carbon Pesach. I am now rerouting as a carbon shlamim. Does it need this kind of akira? If it needs an akira, so then I perfectly understand what's going on over here. And I read the Gemara quickly, but I'm going to explain it all now. And that is that if I subscribe to akira, so that means to say that this carbon Pesach, even though the owners withdrew registration, and even though this carbon Pesach now is not a valid carbon because it's not registered by anybody. So I shechted a carbon Pesach on Pesach. I shechted as a carbon Pesach and there are no consumers and therefore it's disqualified. And what kind of disqualification are we talking about? A psul shebegufo, meaning it intrinsically is disqualified. And so then I understand the brisa. The brisa on the top of the Amud says, Yisarif. Yisarif is what you do. You burn a carbon that has a psul begufo. Allah. But the Gemara says, but consider the following. Iyamar lo bay akira, but let's say no akira is necessary. Meaning that the rerouting of an animal occurs automatically. The rerouting of a carbon occurs automatically. So then miresha havalei shlamim. So if the rerouting occurs automatically, like Rav argued regarding the carbon asham, that the rerouting occurs automatically. So if the rerouting occurs automatically, so what is this carbon Pesach now that I just shafted? So what it is a shlamim. Meaning, think about it. You take a carbon Pesach, you thought there were registered consumers over this carbon Pesach. Turns out, nobody was registered. So that means now what? It's a carbon Pesach without owners. So it's no longer Karban Pesach. If the rerouting of the Karban now converts from a Pesach to a Shlamim, and that occurs automatically, so now what you just shechted is no longer Karban Pesach, but rather Karban Shlamim. Oh, so, and meanwhile, what's the problem? The problem is that it's Erev Pesach, the Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim has already been offered, so the disqualification over here is not intrinsic to the Karban, it's an external factor. It just happens to be that you shechted this animal post Tamid Shel Bein Arbaim, which you're not allowed to do. That's a violation of Hashlama, as we discussed in the beginning of the fifth parak over here at Pesachim. So the Gemara now wonders, so if you're saying that rerouting occurs automatically, the only psul under discussion over here is an external psul, and that does not allow you to burn the Karban Pesach. Meaning, in order to do sreifa, to burn a disqualified Karban, it has to be a psul shebegufo. But if it's an external psul, so then it does not, then you cannot burn it immediately. So how do you give it an intrinsic psul? A psul shebegufo. So what the Gemara describes over here is ibritzura. You let it, you just leave it overnight, because tomorrow morning now it's disqualified through lina, and so now it's going to have a psul shebegufo. Ditanya, and let's just establish this fact, as the Gemara is about to do right now. Zaklal kosha psul begufo yisarf miyad. If the psul is intrinsic to the carbon, so that allows you to burn it immediately. Bedam of abalim to abatsurasov yetzel beis asreifa. If, however, the psul has nothing to do with the carbon per se, something occurred with the blood after it was collected in the bowl, something happened to the owners, so the carbon is disqualified, but not intrinsic to the carbon itself, so then you need ibritzura, then you leave it overnight. Once you leave it overnight, the psul now is a psul of lina, and then it has a psul shebegufo, and therefore it is to be discarded. So now, if we could set ourselves up for the question is as follows. Rav started off by saying that from an asham to a carbon ola, so there, the rerouting occurs automatically, right? That's where we started off the whole discussion. Asham, shenitat l'raya, vishachto stam, kasher va'ola. So even though the asham was no longer necessary, and it was shechted, and there was no clear intention, so nevertheless, the rerouting of the carbon occurs automatically. That's how Rav started off. And meanwhile, it is evident over here that as far as the Karban Pesach that shechted with non-consumers, right, or it's an unregistered Karban Pesach, meaning no owners registered over it. So we learned in a brice on the top of our amud that yisarf miyad. Why? Because rerouting does not occur automatically. The rerouting has to be done intentionally. You need an akira, and because it wasn't rerouted, so now it's a Karban Pesach that's ownerless, and therefore it's a psul shebegufo, which means that basically what we're seeing over here in Karban Pesach is that rerouting does not occur automatically, but rather it has to be done intentionally, i.e. you need akira. So Rav says that rerouting by the Asham to an Ola can be done without an akira. And over here by the Pesach, it's evident that for a Pesach to become a Shlamim, it has to be done intentionally. That's the question. Okay, admittedly, that's a mouthful, but that's the Gemara's question. And for the remainder of this parak, which we're going to finish in Mirtz Hashem, so we're going to go through five different suggestions in terms of how to deal with this problem. So, Ella lo te mashachtu stam kasher l'shem ola, Ella ema shachtu l'shem ola kasher, ama baye akira. So the Gemara says, well, maybe in order to solve for this problem, we'll just go back and we'll edit what Rav said. Maybe what Rav really meant was, is that for the Asham to be converted to an Ola, it needs Akira. You have to do it not stam, but intentionally as a carbon Ola. So the Gemara says, okay, but I don't think that really is true. Going back to a sugya that we did about a week and a half ago, without revisiting the entire sugya, the only time that the Karban Pesach remains a Karban Pesach post-Pesach is because it was assumed that it was going to be used for Pesach Sheni, which means that under normal circumstances, it transitions seamlessly into a Shlamim. Okay, so it's pretty clear that you don't need an Akira. So the Gemara says, El Amar Avuna Bered Rav Yeshua Acha Ben Maizkin Kagon, Sheyifrishu Karam Chatzos, Umesu Balam Acher Chatzos. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's going to be a second attempt to explain it. So maybe over here, it was Mufrash before Chatzos, and the owners died after Chatzos, obviously on Erev Pesach, the Havali Nira V'Nidcha, V'Chol Nir V'Nidcha Shovein Achoz V'Nira. So the Gemara says, so over here, what do we have now? The principle of Dichui, right? Something is rejected. And when it was, something was first eligible, then rejected, so Ein Achoz V'Nira, so then it can become eligible again. So the Gemara says, and maybe that's why it's disqualified. So the Gemara says, me do time el Rav. Remember, what we're trying to do is defend the position of Rav. Hama Rav balechayim nidachim. So the Gemara on numerous occasions points out that according to Rav, live animals are not subject to rejection. Rejection is after a carbon's been shechted. But as long as the animal's a live animal, it's just simply not subject to rejection. So Elam Rav Papa, so here's now going to be our third attempt to defend Rav. Explain Rav, Elam Rav Papa Hamani Rabbi Eliezer Damar, V'chena Shoch Lechem L'Shem Pesach Pasol. You take another carbon, shechting it as a carbon Pesach, so it's going to be disqualified. The Havle Psul Begufo, that is a psul intrinsic to the animal. And that's why Yisarif Miyad is to be burned right away. V'i Rabbi Eliezer Yichatos Nami Mechai. So the Gemara says, okay, but let me ask you a question. According to Rabbi Eliezer, shouldn't you be Chayv HaKarbon Chatos? Meaning, and the whole point of our Mishnah is that you're not Chayv HaKarbon Chatos. But if you're lining up this position in the Mishnah with Rabbi Eliezer, remember, Rabbi Eliezer said it does not subscribe to Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. So you should be Chayv HaKarbon Chatos. The Halesle L'Rabbi Eliezer Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah Potter. So Ela Tirgam of Rav Yosef Bereid, Rav Salah Chasida Kamed Rav Papa. So the Gemara now is going to give our fourth approach. Although the truth of the matter is it's not really a fourth approach. It's just basically finding a Tana who holds like Rabbi Eliezer in one area, but not like Rabbi Eliezer in the other area. Hamani Rav Yosef ben Chunayi did not. Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Yosef ben Chunayi Omer Nishchat L'Shem Pesach U'L'Shem Chatzos Psulim. Yishecht a carbon L'Shem Karban Pesach or Shem Karban Chatzos, it's going to be Pasul. Meaning, not only shechting a Pesach or a Chatzos L'Shem another carbon is going to be a Psul, but taking another carbon, shechting it either as a Pesach or a Chatzos, also is going to be a psul. Good. So it's a psul shebegufo. I'm a psul begufo. He misham hachi sarf niyan. Uve pturi sarvalei k'Rabbi Yoshua. But vis-a-vis tovet var mitzvah. So this Rav Yosef ben Chunai, so he holds like Rabbi Yoshua regarding tovet var mitzvah. That's the fourth approach. And finally, the fifth approach. Rav da Amar k'Rabbi Yishmael benosha Rav Yochanan ben Broka. So it could be that Rav subscribes to the shita of Rabbi Yishmael. So, Detanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer Im Yeshas Biyom Leida Imashko Balim Es Yedaim Osher Meitzu Osher Shinit Mal Chayav. If there is time to discover in terms of whether or not the owners withdrew registration or died or becomes Tameh, so you're going to be Chayav. V'tu Ubar Tzurasa V'yotzei Lebeis Asreifa. And meanwhile, you can't discard it right away. You have to lay overnight. And then tomorrow morning you'll burn it. My time, Alam Yishum Delo Bayakira. So the Gemara says, and now presumably why? Because they're of the position that no Akira is necessary. And so therefore it's a seamless transition from a Pesach to a Shlamin. So the Gemara says, Me Maidam, Mishum De Savala Ketan De Be Rava Barbur De Amar Afil Pigol Nami Bay Ibur Tzura. The Aleph Avon Avon Minosa. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. In terms of transitioning from a Pesach to a Shlamin, maybe it's true you do require an Akira. Over here, do you understand why you have to wait till tomorrow morning? Because there is a Shita, right? The Gemara attributes it to Rabba Bar Avua. There is a Shita that says that even with disqualifications that are Psulim Shebegufo, intrinsic disqualifications, that they require Ibur Tzura. It's based on Gzeira Shava. All disqualifications are connected to Nosar. Nosar, by definition, is waiting till the next day. So over here, so you have to allow it to wait for the next day, even for Psul Shebegufo. Dilo temachi nitmu balim ma'ikal ameimar, havada ba yakira. So the Gemara says, because consider of the cases that we discussed over here, one of them is that the owners become Tameh. There, you for sure need an Akira. Why? Because we're going to go back to what we said just moments earlier. Am Rabbi Chia Bar Gamda nizrika mipicha bura kegon shayu balim tamei meis v'nitchu lepesach sheni. Because remember, when the owners of the Karban Pesach become Tamei, so basically what we're going to say now is we assume that this Karban is just going to be recycled for Pesach Sheni, which means that under those circumstances, it maintains a status of a Karban Pesach. And there, if we're going to offer as a Shlamin, for sure in that case over there, you need an Akira. So Ela Machvarta Kedushani Mikar Yosef Ben Chunahi. So the Gemara says that basically the best defense that we have in terms of Rav is that he subscribes to the Shita of Rav Yosef Ben Chunai, which is that it is a Psul Shebegufo. Taking another carbon and shechting it as a carbon Pesach is a Psul Shebegufo, and that's why it's Tisaref Miyad, that's why it's going to be burnt effective immediately. Okay, Adkan. Hadron Alach, that is the end of Il Dvarim, the sixth parak of Psachim. Okay, and a quick recap of today's daf. Number one, that sheet of Rav Yochanan, where a man has relations with his Yavama while she is a Nida. So that is an example, says Rav Yochanan, of a Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, and therefore going to be Pater. The Gemara has spent a good amount of time, right, the tail end of yesterday's daf, trying to attach Rav Yochanan to a Tana. And after all said and done, so we really couldn't find a Tana to attach him to. Most of the Tanaim of Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah have it in the context of you're trying to do a mitzvah and there's a deadline. So you have two things now excusing you from having to bring a carbon chatzis. You were trying to do a mitzvah and also there's pressure. In other words, because you're on the clock. You have to do it by a certain time. In the case of the Yavama, however, the Gemara says there's no deadline over there. So the Gemara basically left Rav Yochanan unsupported by any particular Tana. Moving to Gimel and Aleph. So the Gemara, Shechtu Shalola Ochlav, many of the cases of the Mishnah are so intuitive. You shecht a carbon Pesach on Shabbos that's disqualified. So you're going to be in violation of Shabbos. And if the carbon is a good carbon Pesach, you're not in violation of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, you're right. And really what the Mishnah is just one big setup to introduce us to the Machlokas Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer regarding Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. The next part of the Mishnah, I'm sorry, next part of the Gemara, Nayin Gemal Med Aleph, is the idea of Mekalka B'Chabura. If you shecht and nothing positive comes out from that, so that's Kilkul, and there's an opinion in Masech Shabbos that Mekalka B'Chabura Pater. So why is our Mishnah telling us that you're Chayev for violating Shabbos? Isn't this Mekalka B'Chabura? And the Gemara finds many different positive benefits, albeit they are small and less significant, but there can be positive benefits in any of the cases that are found in our Mishnah. Even a Braisa, where the guy shechted a carbon chatas on Shabbos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We can even construct a small positive benefit over there, which means that it's no longer mekalkel b'chabura. Mekalkel means that it has to be just 100% destructive. Nothing positive coming out from it. And finally, the remainder of the daf today is a discussion within the shita of Rav. Rav says that when it comes to when you're going from a carbon ashram to a carbon ola, the ashram was no longer necessary, and therefore it transitions to an ola. So Rav says it does so seamlessly, which means that you do not need nakira. That is the shita of Rav. Meanwhile, when it comes to the carbon pesach, where the owners withdrew registration, so with the braisa taught us on the top of the amud base. Yisarif Miyad. What does that tell us? What it tells us is that it's a psul shebegufo. It's an intrinsic disqualification within the animal. As such, so that means that you do need an akira, right? Isn't that in fact the case? So the otherwise, if you don't need akira, so shouldn't it just seamlessly transition from a karm pesach to a karm shlamim? And if that's true, so then it's not a psul shebeguf. And that means to say that you cannot burn it immediately. You have to wait till tomorrow. You need Ibur Tzura. Good. So that was the question that was posed against Rav. And the Gemara on the balance of today's daf gave five different answers, all in terms of ways of defending Rav. And the Gemara preferred the fourth approach. And that is that Rav is in alignment with the Shita Rabbi Chunai, Rav Yosef ben Chunai, that you take another carbon. Meaning this Pesach now, where all the registrants withdrew registration. So now it's a Shlamim. So what are you doing now? You're shechting this Karban Shlamim as a Karban Pesach? Ah, for that, it's a Psul Shebeguf. Why? Because Rav Yosef ben Chunai says, not only shechting a Karban Pesach as a Shlamim, going to be a Psul Shebegufo, but shechting a Karban Shlamim as a Karban Pesach also is going to be a Psul Shebegufo because that's a disqualified Karban. Okay, and that would explain the shita of Rav, and creates alignment between Rav over there by Asham Ola and over here in the case of Pesach Shlamim.